Hi guys, welcome to Empower. My power, your power, our power. Mr. Zaheer Merchant, from his enviable art collection, a great passion for luxury cars, classic interiors, or a hobby as glamorous as a game of polo, today's guest sure has a penchant for the finer things in life, and he's here to give us a taste of a few of his favorite things. I'm delighted to introduce Zaheer Merchant, a friend whose many passions, hobbies, and interests make him a treasure trove of information in the space of lifestyle, luxury, and the arts. A great charmer, a perfect example of a gentleman who epitomizes everything we love on Empower. Thank you so much, Zaheer, for joining us today. Hello.
Thank you, Meenakshi. It's a pleasure to have you.
So nice to be here. So, Zaheer, here we are. You are someone that dons so many hats. How would you best describe yourself?
As a jerk.
No. Come on, we're praising you, you know, to everyone. And we know you're so gifted. Come on, be honest.
It's difficult. I don't want to say nothing about myself.
Okay, but that's...
I just want to say, you know, I want to start with a thank you. And I haven't done interviews at all.
Okay.
I am honestly very media shy. I ask someone else generally to take my, take a quote, and that's it. I've not come on... On camera or a podcast at all.
Yeah, so we are honored, honestly.
And I am also very social media shy.
Absolutely.
So I try to stay away, but you know, I can't say no to you.
How sweet. Thank you. No, I'm really, really honored that you're doing this. I know you're very, very elusive and very private. So thank you for opening your store, your heart, and your, you know, all your collections to us. Thank you so much. So, tell us your journey. What sparked your love for art? I know that's the biggest thing besides your family for you. So, I really wanted to know about that.
You know, art is more of a passion, Meenakshi.
Mm-hmm.
And I started collecting art in 1994. Mm-hmm. The first painting that I ever collected was an M.F. Hussain watercolor.
Wow.
I saw Hussain Saab at the race course painting... a picture for AIDS, in fact, a charity which went for AIDS. And, you know, he painted that whole picture in like less than half an hour, 45 minutes.
Wow.
And I didn't see the race, but I saw him complete the canvas.
Yeah, creating it.
And he started it when the horses were in the paddock, when they were getting rolled in the paddock.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when the race ended, I think the picture was ready.
Wow.
And he made horses, you know, running horses. In 1994, if I am not wrong, it got auctioned and it was bought by one of, you know, a leading racehorse owner. He ended up paying a couple of lakhs for it.
At that time.
At that point of time. Which was not actually the price, but because this was a charity.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw him paint, I'm... You know, I said, this is the man I need to, you know, follow. And then I followed him, and I keep following him all the time.
Of course, and, you became friends.
I was friends with him.
Yes,
as well.
And you have such an amazing collection. More about that later. So tell me, again, about your prized collection. Is there one you can single out? I know it's like trying to pick a favorite amongst so many, but anything, special memory, special attachment?
I've got... couple of paintings, but the only one that is really, really very special to me is this one.
Okay, nice. We are going to put a picture of that out later. Yeah.
So, honestly, this one is a Nasreen Mahmoodi.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I see myself in this. And honestly, it belongs to me, but I've given it off to someone else.
Okay.
And I think I'm just a custodian of this work at this point of time.
Right.
And I've also told
myself... That's why you have it in your cabin, in your office. So,
you know, I've given it to someone very special.
Okay, nice.
And it's a gift.
Uh-huh.
And it was returned back to me 4 or 5 months ago.
Okay.
And I don't have another place but this one, this place to put it up. So, even my son knows that after me, this has to go back to the same person.
Okay, nice.
And that person is really special to me.
Very lucky person, I must say. And the painting is beautiful. It's one of the first pieces I saw when I walked into, if you remember when we met.
So every line that you see over here is a part of my journey, and I see myself, in fact. and difficult to explain to you in one small meeting, but you know, over a period of time, if you see lines into lines into lines, it's
depth.
very
and
very
a lot deep. Of layers, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
It's like life,
and it's very special.
Yes, nice. It's beautiful. So I have studied art history, so I do relate to, you know,
yeah.
I can talk about a painting for hours too. We
right.
had to do papers on these things.
Of course.
You know, so
yeah,
it was amazing.
Thesis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So so tell us about your all-time favorite Indian artist. Is it MFSN? Or, yeah, so that's a given. Yes, as you mentioned, I did discuss with you that I did a thesis on MFSN in
right.
London. And
yes, we spoke
kind
that.
Of educated some of our tutors as well to Indian art.
Yes.
You know?
What I've done is, you know, my collection mainly revolves around Hussain Saab.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've tried to do is, I've tried to collect, you know, a lot of his works
mm-hmm.
over a period of time.
Right.
So I have works starting from the Fantasy Collection, where he was making furniture and then he painted. So I have a few works from the Fantasy Collection, right until 2010. I had some works which I don't own anymore because they were too colorful for me, and
right.
you know, I wanted to collect only some of his strongest works.
Absolutely.
So you know, art is something that you know. Keeps growing on you, and you have to let it go and pass it on to someone else who will appreciate it and take it forward.
Absolutely.
So that's what I've been doing. Even when I started collecting, I must have bought art from someone who must have gotten over it.
Right.
And then I continued with it.
Yeah.
So over a period of time, yes, I have a sizable collection of Hussain's, in fact.
Yes, one of the best. I have seen a few and they are
yes,
unbelievable. So I must say that what you said is so true, because it's like sharing the creativity with the world as well. I think in rotation it kind of is.
It has to.
It's like good books.
It
it's like, you know.
Everyone has to enjoy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And what happens is, let me tell you something. You know, things, people, everything keeps coming and going. Art is something which gives me a smile every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I have a small kink, which is I see all my art on the walls every day.
Right.
And every day when I walk past every picture, I have a smile.
And a memory.
Memory, okay, but I have a smile.
Uh-huh.
And I feel these are the only constant things in my life which give me pleasure.
And also because, you know, they are completely yours.
Yeah, they have
they
no,
cannot walk away.
No, and they can't go anywhere. Basically.
Exactly. I said
they're screwed on the wall.
Yeah. That's a good one. I love that. And so true.
Of
honestly. I mean, what do we possess anyway, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
this we can have,
of
you
course.
Know.
And, you know, I'll tell you something more. Every painting that I have, and every painting has been a journey.
Mm-hmm.
Every painting has been bought passionately. I haven't collected anything like, you know, one fine day just go with a bag of money and collect 10 pictures together.
Right.
I haven't done anything like that. Everything that I have collected, there is a story.
Oh, it has to speak to you.
Yeah,
it has
to speak to me. Either I've got it at a very good deal and it's just fallen on my lap, or either I've gone and paid, you know, the highest price because I just loved it and then realized that, oh my God, I just got, you know, I just got something.
Ripped
just
off.
Like, I just got
or
ripped
remember
off.
You were once saying that you actually waited for 2-3 days in a city just because you were pursuing some art from
yes,
an artist.
Yes, I was pursuing an artist called Shanti Dave.
Yes, you did introduce
and,
me to his works.
And I really like his works.
Yeah.
They talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed in a guest house which was just next to his home.
Right.
I stayed there for 3 days. I stayed with him and his family, like right from morning until until the night. I had all my 3 meals with them. And then I think I collected a lot of his works.
Right.
In those 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I cherished them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do cherish.
I love the passion and the persistence that you have.
You have to.
Because
and the best part was, this deal with Shanti Dave fell through.
Right.
Because he, you know, we bought 28 paintings from him. I bought 28 paintings from him. And the painting that had won him the first prize in his Baroda School of Art.
Yes, beautiful.
He refused to let go of it.
At the last minute,
at
you
the
said.
Last minute.
Yes, he backed out.
And when he backed out at the last minute, and I said, okay, then the deal doesn't go through. I said, I want to leave. And I let go and he let go of,
wow.
of a huge
quirks
deal.
Of an artist.
Yeah. But you know,
centricity.
Yeah, but you know, you couldn't argue with a man who was already 85 years old.
Absolutely.
And you know, he had love for that one picture. He was willing to let go of everything,
right.
but not that one picture, and I respected him. And then of course I had a little bit of a kink myself, and I said, if I don't get this, then I don't buy any. And
right.
he said, okay, go. Yeah. And I took the next flight and I came back to
wow.
the city. But I didn't have any regrets.
Of course.
And 6 months later, you know, the family got in touch with me again and asked me, saying, Dad has become old and we made him understand and we would want you to get this
of course, finished. Selling 28 paintings,
yes.
I mean, that's a big
and I still And I still have some of his best works.
Okay,
nice. I have a nice, sizable collection.
Yes, lovely. You do have great taste in art too. I love all the earthy colors and like you said, you're now, you know, elevating to more softer, more,
yes.
you know, seasoned works.
So let me tell you something. There was a point of time when I was collecting works. So it's, you know, different phases of your life.
Absolutely.
So when I started collecting very, you know, I started collecting works which didn't have faces.
Right.
Okay, so I was collecting some
abstracts,
some
yeah.
objects. Then later on, because Hussain Saab did so many different kinds of faces, I started collecting a few of his faces. I started collecting a few of Souza's, which I don't actually own anymore now.
Okay.
Because they were very erotic, I couldn't put them at home.
Yes, yes.
And over a period of time, when you also evolve as a person, it's again another journey.
True.
So, you know, loud colors is something which I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm not somebody who's very loud, honestly, on colors. I like earthy tones. This is a Ram Kumar, again, 1970s.
Yeah, I love the blues.
Yeah, it's a Ladakh. It's a
green
Ladakh,
and
you know. So, it's more on earthy tones. And over a period of time, when I was, you know, trying to strengthen my collection, lots of the colorful Husseins were, you know, I gave them to other good homes, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to people who appreciated those. Because I think I'd got done with them.
Right.
So
don't get rid of that lady, yeah, in the red.
Oh yeah, that
I love it. They said we stand with the lady, we have to take a photograph of that. I know you don't like bright colours, but somehow that fits. It goes with brown really well.
Yeah.
And greys. So don't get rid of everything. You know, some colour is good in life.
Yeah.
I mean.
I think I'm happy with what I have at this point of time and
yes.
I'm just collecting again and again. And you know, over time, like I said, you mature and your tastes change. So, you know, your eyes are focusing more on much more stronger works than anything that comes out.
Of course, yeah. And your taste develops,
yeah,
you know, everything. You learn more, you're exposed to more, everything.
Yes.
So, tell me, what is the appetite, according to you, for fine art in India? Are the tastes changing? Like how you said, your tastes have evolved.
So, you know, the appetite of fine art in India is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
Anything which is... You know, I look at gems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for example, this Nasreen is a gem.
Right.
I would never sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Never ever sell it. There is a lot of money waiting for good art.
Right.
And you will always find good art, you know, getting new heights in terms of pricing. Earlier, I looked at art very passionately, but as you see, the multiplication in art as an investment is also tremendous.
Right.
If your picture is good.
Correct.
And if you have quality. You can't say it's sort of an insult to an artist saying that, you know, this is good and this is not good.
Yeah.
But
it's
if
subjective.
Your eye, yeah, it's very subjective.
Yeah.
But if your eye has got something and if you have a good eye and if you can get that one picture, it's rather having that one picture than having 10 more.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And you know, increasing quantity and
so
you know, compromising on quality.
Exactly.
Yes.
So quality over quantity.
Yes.
Now I think especially after the pandemic, that applies for everything in life. Everyone's become, you know,
everything.
More conscious. Yeah. And yeah.
In fact, we have so much at our disposal. Even during the pandemic, that's when we realized that we have so much at your disposal.
Absolutely.
That you don't really are appreciating, you know, what's already
there. The jewels we possess.
Yeah,
absolutely. So tell me, I mean, I was privileged to get a complete tour last time of this beautiful studio, and we're going to try and show some of it.
Of course, we're going to walk.
How sweet, yeah. Or should we call it a museum? So it truly was an awe-inspiring experience with such a vast array of art and design to look at. Tell us the philosophy behind the studio. There were one or two really nice little stories you told me about how some of the pieces in your, you know, from the bath shop pieces to your, you know, artistic pieces. What do you want your clients to feel when they walk in?
You know, I have seen some, I've met with some people. Generally, I'm not going out and attending every client who comes. But, for example, yesterday there was a client. And they came from Surat and they came to buy bathroom fittings. But eventually the lady was just looking at all the art.
Mesmerized by the art.
and honestly, I was walking with her and my staff was handling the husband and the architect. But, you know, she was like, you know, you're crazy to have so much art on your walls. But I really enjoy sharing this with others and, you know, people appreciating it. And I've realized that, you know, people with good taste have an eye for art. And then they don't look at my stuff that I'm selling, actually, which is actually not too good
for
me.
Yes, for all our listeners, you own the bath shop.
Yes.
Fantastic high-end bath accessories,
yes.
From masons to beautiful, you know, everything, you know.
So this store,
and,
is from 1999.
Correct.
And what you see of... There's not been too much of renovations. Of course, we have changed our displays over a period of time.
It's stunning. It really is like walking into a gallery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm too much, you know, I focus a lot and I tilt a lot towards concrete and towards exposed concrete. So most of this exposed concrete that you see in the store is almost 21 years old today.
Amazing.
And in those days, not everybody was, you know,
following
concrete.
Correct.
But this has been designed by me, and I love that people appreciate it. And what we've done is that we've not made it like a dukan.
Correct.
We've created like a studio, a boutique.
Absolutely.
And we've given every piece that we sell its importance, and you know, we've made sure that it's not all cluttered.
Correct.
So, you know, a person can visualize how it would look. That's the whole philosophy of the store.
So I must tell you, we were in Palma, Mallorca once
on
a holiday. And in fact, I bought this dress there. I don't know why I remembered Palma because of the dress. And you won't believe it. We went to the Picasso Museum.
Yes.
And it is like it's a beautiful heritage building. Have you been there?
Of course.
Oh, okay. So this has elements. I don't know why your store, because it's over two levels and there are these... You know, really nice concrete and natural elements, a lot of it.
Of course.
It really reminded me of that. That's why I said it's like walking through a gallery.
Yeah,
or
when I saw it, and I also had a little bit of a recall. This was when we went to Spain in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh my God, this looks a little bit like, you know,
really?
My interiors.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing, right?
Never seen it, but.
Yeah, it's really nice. So tell me, your studio... is an art lover's paradise, as you mentioned as well, how clients, you know,
but
get attracted.
But we sell bathroom fittings. So in fact, if you guys are watching, we sell very high-end bath fittings, everything to do with bathrooms, not art.
With some really, really high-end clients and people, everyone loves his work and they create some bespoke pieces.
Yes,
they customize from all over the world, which is fabulous. So what do your clients want from it? Is it just browsing art appreciation or, I mean, I know you sell everything a lot, but like you said, the appetite for fine art is increasing. You have to have a good eye when someone walks in.
Right.
What advice would you give someone? Like say if someone walked in and they want to talk to you, of course, about the bath, you know, fittings and everything. And what if it's a budding art collector? I'm mixing two questions, but it's kind of connected.
So Meenakshi, I wanted to say something to you. You know, having art on the wall has got me... in a place where someone has come up to me and said, oh, I own a Hussein. I have a Ram Kumar. I wanted to sell my Ram Kumar. And I'm eagerly, you know, waiting for them to, you know, show it to me or send me a picture.
Have you found some great buys?
And I've found some really great buys. Wow. In fact, I went to New York. A lady from New York turned up at my store. And she said, who is the owner of this store? I would like to meet him. Such a small old lady. Very old lady. Very, very, very dear friend of mine now. And eventually, I flew that same evening. So she sent me a picture after 15 days of a Hussein. And I flew down to New York that same night. And I told her, if she's listening, I made a fool of you.
Oh my God.
And I told her that I'm coming to New York to for some work. And I'd like to come and see you. And she said, okay, you can come. And I took the evening flight to New York. I reached there the next morning. I called her and she said, I'm not free to meet you.
Right.
I had to stay back in New York for like 2 days just to meet up with her. And I found some crazy, unbelievable gems in her home.
Okay.
And eventually I landed up buying one from her, which was amazing, and she didn't like it and I loved it.
So, like
I said earlier, you know, it moves. Mm-hmm. It moves from one home to another.
Yeah, yeah.
So she had it for almost 28 years and she bought it in the early 90s.
Right.
And she had it for like more than 28 years. And now it belongs to me.
How lovely.
Yeah.
So see how it grows. It grows. From putting it in a bath
it's meant to be. It's like destiny.
Yeah.
But you know, to answer your question, a lot of people have come up to me and you know, they ask me this question: is this real?
Okay. But you have so much. You can't expect everybody.
Yeah.
We are all gobsmacked at this stunning collection.
And when they say, is this real? And I say, I think so. You know? And I don't say yes or no. I say, I think so, in fact.
Yeah.
And generally, then a lot of people have, in fact, asked me. And I have, you know, what I'd like to do is, I don't think I'm capable enough to advise people what they should do. So I do have friends who are gallery owners,
right,
and I, you know, work closely with them,
right,
several of them, in fact. And I, you know, I give them maybe 2-3 numbers to...
What are some of your favorite galleries in Mumbai, if you don't mind sharing?
You know, we've been friends with Pandols, very dear friends of mine, Korshar and Tadiba. You can talk about Sakshi, then you can talk about some of the new galleries, like even Saffron Art has...
nice.
Not only auctions, but you know, they keep having shows. You know, you have to visit galleries, you have to see what appeals to you, what grows onto you. Because I believe in one thing, that, you know, art is acquired by 2-3 virtues in life. One is that it's either, you know, the collector has died, so it's death.
Of course.
It's divorce.
Yeah.
It's either bankruptcy, which has got him into bad debts. And that's when he wants to sell. Because art is not something which people, you know,
sell easily. Absolutely.
Easily.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, honestly, once it comes into a strong hands, I have realized something over a period of time, that once, you know, something which is really... is the gem comes out
special.
It comes out very rarely, and it comes out
back to the market.
Yes, it doesn't come into the market with
a
very happy note, but then it again goes into a happy home because the person who's bought it is, you know, is doing well,
and
for
then
himself.
The positive cycle begins
it again begins,
yeah.
It again begins.
Yeah.
So I would suggest that you know new collectors should look at some names, a mix of portfolios. You can't go wrong with the progressives.
Absolutely.
Okay, you can't go wrong with the moderns.
Mm-hmm.
But still, even in moderns, you need to have an eye to collect something. And nobody comes with an eye, basically. It's over a period of time and meeting people that you start developing an eye for good pictures.
Okay.
A lot of good works in auctions, if you have deep pockets and if you have the ability to, you know, stand with a paddle with your hand up, you know, when it's
I'm going to come back to that.
It's going to go. So at that point of time, you know, you can get some good art.
Mm-hmm.
In fact.
So I want to say this since you mentioned the paddle.
Yep.
I remember you talking about Zeeshan, your son.
Yes.
And I do know that the creativity is in the blood because he has a fabulous collection of shoes.
Of course.
That he's making men's shoes. And yes. I'm waiting for the women's footwear to get launched. I'm going to tell him, please do that because the quality and the construction is amazing.
He is creative.
Solidoro, right?
Solidoro,
sorry. Yes, perfect. So, and also you started the bath shop, which is, as we mentioned, high-end bathroom solutions. And it is a 9,500 square foot of sheer showroom elegance. This is for all our listeners who haven't been here, okay?
Yeah.
And right here in Mumbai. So how did this come about? I know it's many, many years ago, but
So I started this story of my life also in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there was nobody other than me who was into high-end, who brought this business into the country.
Okay.
I had a monopoly. I really enjoyed, the advantages of being first at that point of time. And today I am enjoying the rain, basically.
Correct.
But,
yours is the go-to destination for high-end, especially patronized.
It is.
And you procure things from all over the world?
I procure things mainly from Europe.
Okay.
And mainly Italy and Germany.
Okay.
But I also have a lot of, one-off pieces,
mm-hmm.
which have been, acquired very passionately.
Right.
Which I haven't sold.
Okay.
So I have several things which are even 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone likes it, I quote such a fancy price that, he just...
But they're one of a kind. They're like art.
Yeah, and I honestly don't want to sell it to anybody and everybody.
Right.
Honestly, I want to also... wanted to go to someone who is passionate as I would be, to appreciate what it is, frankly speaking.
Nice. So coming back to the paddle story.
Yeah.
So with your son, Zeeshan, would you like to share it or any incident how you have inculcated a love for art or given him the freedom to develop it? He's, 21 now?
Now he's 21.
Okay. And you can tell us about this very fun story that you mentioned to me earlier.
So 6 years ago... 6 years ago, we were in an auction, in a Christie's auction at the Taj.
Right.
And, I took him for the preview.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would want to say is that, he would inherit this...
A huge collection.
This collection of art.
Absolutely.
And if he doesn't have interest in it, then honestly, I don't know where this legacy is going to go. Right?
Absolutely.
So
that's why you wanted to inculcate
it. And I have seen, when I have bought art, in fact, I've always bought it from someone who has died and, his children.
So you were thinking ahead.
Yeah, his children have just gotten rid of some really nice masterpieces, in fact. And over a period of time, you collect your works accordingly. And keeping that in mind, I decided that, I have to expose him. Not that I was not taking him to for galleries, because every Sunday we did some galleries.
Absolutely.
And just to get him exposed to art. But then, how would I create an interest? So we went for the Christie's preview, and then for the main preview where they have a nice party. And then maybe 2 days later, we just again walked into the Taj, and we, when there was not too many people, it was just maybe a few of us. And again, I took him for a round. And at that point of time, I said that I'd like you to tell me what you would like if you had to buy something.
What kind of eye he would have or his choices.
And for some reason, he was pointing to my luck.
Like I said, it's in the blood.
Yeah. And he started pointing out to,
Really nice pieces.
Really nice pieces.
Right.
And I said, and then, of course, one or two things, he said, I like this also. And I said, oh my God, now I have to deviate his mind from there, right?
Yeah, you did it very gently, I remember you said
that.
So I said,
I don't think these colors go with our, with our ambience and our, the way we have our interiors at home. So I had to, and he was 6 years ago. This was 6 years ago.
So, yeah.
So I could mold him.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I could mold him,
yeah.
And I could change his opinion a little
yes.
bit.
Yeah, and passively educated while
yes.
doing so.
And Zeeshan, if you are listening to this,
yeah, which you will,
you need to know that this is exactly the trick that I played on.
Okay, no, but I'm sure he has wonderful taste now.
And then we went for the mainsail, and of course we had a paddle with us. And I gave him the paddle and I asked him to bid for things he liked.
And a budget.
There was no budget.
Okay, there has to be some, I mean.
No, it was not.
You're spoiling our audiences now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, let's go a little overboard today and
right.
let's see what he likes.
Right.
And it was his first time in an auction. So all he did was, he liked a particular padamsi.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall, the first picture that he bought was a heber. And I recall him, he didn't know the game of, you know, raising the paddle. So I said, if you like it and if you want to buy it, you need to raise the paddle. And at that point of time, he raised the paddle so high that the auctioneer in those days said, okay, 18 lakhs, 19, 20, 22. And he kept the paddle raised. I said, okay, pull it down. And eventually he bought it.
He was young.
Yeah, and then eventually he bought it for a couple of lakhs. After that, he bought a padamsi, then he bought a jamni as well,
okay.
in that same auction. So I went down by a couple of lakhs that day. But what happened was, that was his trigger. And he had a sense of, you know, saying that, okay, this is what I bought.
Mm-hmm.
And this belongs to me, mm-hmm. you know. And his whole overall approach to looking at art changed that day.
Of course.
And he has interests. But you know, he's growing.
He was hooked. That's the main
yeah,
thing.
He was hooked.
He was hooked.
Yeah. You know, because he's been exposed to so much of art.
Absolutely.
At home, at
yeah.
the office, and over the years.
Yeah, it's a part
that,
of your life.
Yeah, so that, you know, he doesn't really, he's not in awe of it.
Mm.
He says, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Absolutely.
He says, I like it.
Yeah. So tell me, I know we've discussed art, but do you feel there's a growing demand for improved living? Overall, like interiors, art, food, fashion, despite the times that we're living in, uncertain times, but I feel overall, do you think it's improved? And
you know, I have to say something. When I started in 1994, you know, things were much more easy. There was no internet, there was no email. We used to fax.
Yeah.
We used to use fax or used to use telex. Or
there was a pager phase.
No,
and
pager
then there
was
were,
also there.
Yeah, there was
yeah.
a phase of that.
But when I'm talking international, when I was
okay.
working with my companies overseas, you know, we used to write letters to them
mm.
and we used to wait for 15 days for them to respond.
Absolutely.
Talking,
patience was key
yeah.
then.
So the idea is that now with technology, everything has opened up so much that one tap of a button and you have like 20 options opened up to you.
Correct.
Keeping this in mind, people's visions have, you know, opened up.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, it was very, very selective. You know, we had a very selective audience for what we sold,
yeah.
in fact.
Exposure was not there
exposure.
Now with the advent
today,
of digital media and
today
especially.
It's,
yeah.
Today, would you even, in my wildest dreams, I wouldn't have thought that you and me would be sitting on the same page over here.
Exactly.
And me changing my mindset to an interview.
Again, we're so honored. I mean, grateful and loving it because it's everything we love too. I love art. I love travel. I love food. I love, you know, so many lovely things and that we all share a common interest. And that actually goes into the next thing, that what's the next best big thing for you, or what's, see, tell me a little bit now, you know, I'm not looking at the questions, tell me what really drives you. So I know there's art, there's polo, there's
polo is, yeah,
you know, you
polo
also like vintage cars, you have a collection.
I do.
So would you like to share with us anything besides, of course, the art? And
so, you know, I like to restore things.
Mm-hmm.
I like old things. I like old things. I value old materials. I see them created during times when there was no technology.
Mm.
You know, they was made by hand. You look at the vintage cars. Okay, I've got a few cars. and you see the shapes, you see the way they've been created.
Constructive, yeah.
Over in 1939, in 1949, and you compare them with the cars that we drive today.
Yeah.
And if you drive that car on the road, there's like 100 people, you know, showing you a thumbs up, and there's like tens of these bikers who keep coming close to you and said, "Kitna average deta hai?" You know, it's like, yeah. It's just unbelievable.
But that's one of the, you know, you are so reclusive and so elusive and so exclusive to us that that's one of the only few things I found on the internet about you as well. That's a car rally or some drive that you did. And
so I showed this Mercedes Benz that you saw in the rally.
Mm-hmm.
I showed this car after 21 years.
Wow, which model is it, if you can share?
It's a 1949. It's the first S-Class made by Mercedes-Benz.
Beautiful. Yeah, it looked really nice.
And I got it restored. It took me a while to restore it.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed this car. So this was absolutely fresh in the show. Never been seen. And people didn't even know that I owned it.
Yeah, you're so private.
And honestly, I'm not a part of any club. You know, the vintage car club of India and Bombay. I never take part in rallies. I drive my car when I feel like it.
Yeah.
So, when I showed this car, it was, you know, the car was ready. In fact, when I showed her, I was not very sure whether I would even land up at the venue. But eventually, it was for a very select few cars, 30 cars, and it was only by invitation. And then I realized that, you know, it was a good event and people appreciated it. And why not?
See, that's another transformation for you.
It
you
is.
Opened up there, you opening up here, we're lucky.
And this car in particular was gifted by the Nizam of Hyderabad to Jawaharlal Nehru in 1951 on being the first Prime Minister of the country.
Fascinating.
So it has a beautiful,
great history,
it has a great history, and it's got impeccable provenance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud to have this.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even know that. I just saw it because we were trying to, you know,
find something,
get
about
some
it.
Yeah, just make so that we could just have a great discussion, know a bit more about you. But thank you so much for sharing that. So what's left on your travel bucket list of adventures? I know you're an extreme adventure fanatic, and I'm not going to say it, whatever you want to share. And you have a rebirth in life, you know, you've been through some amazing incidents which were...
So today when you see me, and today that we are talking,
mm-hmm.
It's my second life.
Yes.
You know about it, and maybe your audience doesn't know about it, but if I were to, you know, repeat, on the 14th of February, last year, 2020,
mm-hmm.
I had a fall. Honestly, I didn't have a fall, but I had an accident whilst I was playing polo.
Correct, the horse.
And the horse reared up and fell backwards on me.
Correct.
And I broke every part of my body. I was in ICU for a couple of days and in the hospital for almost a month.
Yeah, rebirth, honestly.
And it was, and I knew I had died at that point of time, in fact. And I just feel that, you know, blessings and good wishes of people have, you know, got me where I am.
Correct.
And only thing that I can now, there are two things that I feel are very important to me. One is gratitude. And the second is never to neglect your body.
Right.
Because the way the body has brought me back to where I am, I have also started riding again 6 months ago. And it was impossible for anybody, I think, you know, to
imagine.
Come back,
you had a very, very serious accident.
To imagine, and I was in bed and forever, and there was so much of complication and problems. I still have a few surgeries pending, and they'll happen when they'll happen because I'm really tired of.
But
everything.
You look amazing, and you're fit, and you're all over the place.
I'm not fit. I've become.
No, you feel that way, but trust me, no one can make out that, you know, you've had such a serious accident, and it's like a second birth.
For example, I don't have a wrist.
Right.
I don't have a wrist at all.
Okay.
So I have like something like a mechanical wrist which has been put onto me as such. I don't have a hip. You know, I have plates and screws and things on my hip, my legs, everything has got. So it's been a new life, and it's a miracle.
And you still want to go running with the bulls. That's what I meant. Your next big adventure. I mean, I admire the zest for life and the passion for things, but I've never seen someone with that much determination and drive.
So guys, you know. I went to Jallikattu. I went to Tamil Nadu. I went to Madurai in February, and it was during the time. Jan. I went in Jan. It was during the Pongal, I think.
Yes, the festival.
The festival. And I went and the idea was to run with the bulls, in fact. And I did a little bit of practice.
So, extreme sports fan as well here.
Yes. And I did it and eventually the bull ran behind me and I couldn't run behind the bull.
No, anyway, that sounds funny. So, on a really happy and fun note, I would like to wish you great health.
Thank you.
And more power to you to pursue all your passions. Well, that brings us to the end of an inspiring and exciting chat, loaded with information and valuable insights from the fascinating Zahir Merchant. Thank you so much for being here with us at Empower.
Thank you.
Any last words, Mr. Merchant?
Thank you.
Okay, I'll speak. Okay, so, well, thank you, my dear listeners, too, for tuning in. Stay up to date with all this and more on my Instagram and Facebook, Meenakshi Kuwadekar, which has all the podcast-related content, from engaging videos to delightful pictures, all specially curated for you. And feel free to email me anytime on empoweredbymeenakshi@gmail.com. And until then, as always, keep shining, keep smiling. For Zahir Merchant, be adventurous. Have a fantastic week, everyone, and don't forget to own it.